Good morning. Welcome to worship on this last Sunday of July, this last hot and going to get hotter Sunday in July. Thank God for air conditioning, right? It feels good in here. But good to see you all this morning as we gather for worship. Good news, announcements you wish to share this morning as we begin our worship service? Marilyn. Wow. Well, welcome. So glad you're here. Well, good. Glad you could be here this morning. Welcome. Others? Sandy? Good. Glad it's gone well. Others? Helen? We can put that little announcement in the newsletter, too, that goes out next week if you want. Yeah, get that to Pam. Other things. Liz is back. We've missed you the last 2 weeks, so good to have you back and back safely from your trip to Washington, D.C. with how many kids? Well, I'm glad it went well. I'm glad you're home. I bet you are, too. Yeah. But it was a charter bus, right? But even a charter bus that far is a challenge. At least at my age, I know it is. Others, we have flowers on the altar from Judy Boyd's memorial service, which was Friday morning. The family graciously left those for us to enjoy this week, so we thank them for that. Also, on the little table just around the corner in the parlor are some funeral bulletins, if you'd like to pick one up. Family left a few of those as well. The street project continues to move along, so they're making progress, and when we have weather like this, they can work long hours and quickly, but there's a long ways to go, but at least they're making progress, so that's good. The mobile mission was at the farmer's market yesterday. The mission of the day was the Algona Police Department's canine unit. And we raised $95 to go towards the canine unit. The mobile mission is going to have, and machines are going to have, a busy week. We'll be at Party in the Park on Wednesday evening. We'll be at Farmer's Market on Saturday. And after that, the machines are taking a trip down to Kelly, Iowa, for our middle son, who's on the Kelly Volunteer Fire Department. Annual fundraiser. They just got a new fire engine, so we'll be making the trip down there for a Sunday deal. So if any of you are interested in learning the ropes, it's not hard. We could sure use some help this week. I think Pam has to work on Saturday, so don't have to say I'm coming. Just show up and we'll put you to work. It's not that hard, and it actually is a lot of fun. So the hardest is set up and break down, and we've kind of got that figured out so we can do it pretty quick. But so busy week, and always looking for more mission opportunities for our mission of the day. So tell me, email me, pass me a note, give me a phone call, whatever. We'll look for more. And we've got a small list, but we can always use more folks. So. Anything else? Call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. Today, after worship, CE will be meeting. Let's meet in my office. The air conditioner is running, so it'll be nice and cool in there. And I don't think it'll be a long meeting. Just got to kind of get things figured out as we approach the fall program. Wednesday, September newsletter deadline, mobile mission at Party in the Park. Thursday, it's not in your bulletin, but it's now become our Thursday evening discussion group is going to meet at Maryland's at 7 o'clock, and Maryland will be providing us a little snack, and we'll figure out what we're going to be discussing, or we'll find out when we get there. Who knows? But be part of that if you so choose. Mobile Mission at Farmers Market on Saturday. Next Sunday, worship with communion, and it's also Food Pantry Sunday, so remember that as next week comes. Also, I got a week and a half ago, Wednesday, the Mobile Mission was at the Kossuth Regional Health Center, a family picnic that had, well, it was moved to the Y due to the weather. But we got a nice thank you in the mail from them. It's posted on the bulletin board. We didn't collect any money we feel, or at least Pam and I feel, and if you feel differently, let us know, but for things like that, community service, community things like that, we don't do a mission of the day, but they did include a nice check for $150, so we thank them for that. So the word is out, and folk ask about, what, no snow cones, no cotton candy? That was very generous of them to do that, so we appreciate that. Anybody see Jesus this week? Nobody? Well, you ran into him all over the place, I'm sure. We ran into Jesus at Pizza Ranch in Fort Dodge a week ago yesterday, at least in this incarnation, Jesus was an Oklahoma Sooners fan. Trucker from work for Decker, and we had a nice conversation. He needed somebody to talk to, so it's another way we run into Jesus and can be Jesus to other folk when we're out and about. If there's nothing else, let us, those who are able, stand and begin our worship with our call to worship.
The foolish say, "There is no God. We are alone on our own.
We gather to declare the glory of God in our lives."
The foolish say, "It is your life. You are accountable to no one." We gather, strengthened by the Spirit, trusting that Christ dwells in our hearts. The foolish say, "Everything I have is mine. I owe nothing to anyone." We gather to praise the one who calls us to serve others in love. Now let's join together in hymn number 138. Let's join together in our opening prayer. Lead us in our worship this morning, God, that our lives might praise you, our lives might bless you, and our thoughts might glorify your name. We come to sing and pray, knowing that you always hear us. Help us hear you. Amen.
Be seated. You may have noticed in the call to worship this morning that one of the watchwords was foolish. Have you ever been foolish? Will you admit to it? I've been foolish. We've all been foolish. In fact, when I read, well, and this Psalm 14 is what the call to worship is based on, and it's a fool say in their hearts there is no God. That's the beginning of it. Well, and so, well, we're not foolish. We believe there's a God, right? Well, but a song popped into my mind because, well, we're all a product of the songs of our generation. Do you remember a song? I think, well, I remember by Aaron Neville, but Everybody Plays the Fool. You remember that? There's no exception to the rule. And that's right, there is no exception to the rule of playing the fool. Even those of us that believe in God, sometimes we're foolish enough not to obey God. So nobody gets a free pass. We all have been foolish from time to time. And if we know ourselves well, we'll all be foolish again from time to time. That's kind of human nature. But my definition, and I looked it up this morning. I thought, well, what's the difference between being stupid and being dumb and being a fool? Well, my definition, if you're dumb, you just don't know. I mean, you have no clue of anything around something. If you're stupid, you know, but you do stupid things anyway. And if you're foolish, you just do things that you know better. We know better. But sometimes we just can't help ourselves, or we get caught up in the crowd, or for whatever excuse we might offer. But the good news is that even when we are the fool, when we're foolish, God welcomes us back. God forgives us. God still loves us. Thank God for that. So remember next time, if you start thinking about doing something foolish, well, take a minute, take a breath, and maybe step back from that. If you can't resist, rejoice that God forgives us and loves us anyway. Let's pray. God, sometimes we admit that we indeed are foolish people. We do things we know we shouldn't. We say things that we know we shouldn't. We take our own path away from you when we know we shouldn't. But through it all, you love us. You forgive us. And we get to try again, to be less foolish than we've been before. Thanks for that. Amen. God looks at us to see if we are wise enough to offer confession, to receive forgiveness, and to seek to know the healing love of Jesus. Let us prove our wisdom and set aside our foolish pride as we pray together our prayer of confession. Wisdom's heart, deep within, we know we have failed to be your people. Our hardened hearts are closed to the love of Christ. Our lust for more and more blocks the fullness of your grace from transforming our lives. Our trust in the powers of the world reveals our foolish nature. Have mercy, God of every generation. Pour out the rich blessing of forgiveness on our parched souls. Feed us with heaven's bread so we might be nourished by your gentleness. Shape us as your people and restore us to faithful living as we seek to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in service to everyone we meet. Amen. The wideness of God's mercy, the range of God's forgiveness, the infinite love of God, the heart of hope, which is never empty. All these gifts are ours as God restores us to the fullness of life meant for us. grounded in love, rooted in discipleship, we offer ourselves in service to others, recognizing the limitless grace which is ours to share in Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is the account of one of Jesus' miracles from the Gospel of John. After this, Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are those for so many?" Jesus said, "Had the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them, and they filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountains alone. When it was evening, his disciples went down to the sea, embarked in a boat, and went across the sea to Capernaum. It had already grown dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea was stirred because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they began to be afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, but the boat immediately arrived at the shore to which they were heading. Now let's stand and join together in our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, who is love, whose love is manifest in all creation, in our lives and in all people. We follow Christ, who embodied God's love, in his life and ministry, his death and resurrection, and his granting to us of his Spirit. He filled us with that love as well. We live by the Spirit, the presence of God's love in us. In that love, we participate in the church, body of Christ, in loving God by loving our neighbors through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. Love is our faith, and it is a gift from God. We thank God and ask God's blessings that we may love in the name of Christ and the power of the Spirit, to God's glory. Amen.
Be seated. Our focus scripture this morning once again comes from the letter to the church in Ephesus, usually credited to Paul, but as we've talked before, biblical scholars do not think that this is an original Paul letter. It's in that category of disputed Paul. Some say yes, some say no, but the majority are leaning towards the no. But no matter, it's a letter to the church with a wonderful message for the church then as well as for the church now. So I share from the third chapter, verses 14 through 21, a portion of this letter and invite you to listen closely as I share it with you. For this reason, I fall on my knees before God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth receives its true name. I ask God from the wealth of God's glory to give you power through God's Spirit, to be strong in your inner selves. And I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love, so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. And now to him who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. Our faith instructs us, encourages us, if you will, to pray for one another. Do you do that? Have you been doing that? We do it every Sunday morning. We pray for one another. Those we know, those we love, those we don't know. We should pray for those we don't love too. Well, whoever the author of this letter to the church in Ephesus is, that's what's happening in this little piece that we just shared together this morning. The author is praying for the church in Ephesus that they would come to know more fully the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of Christ's love. Sure, they know that, have been told that Jesus loves them, but the author is praying for some more consideration about that, some more thinking about that, to ask the question, how deep, how long is, how wide is Christ's love, is God's love? Now, this is the part when I read these scriptures that I think we should include a song. In other parts of the Bible, there's a scripture piece and then there's a song, like when Moses and the Israelites cross the Red Sea and they're safe and Miriam breaks out into song. The Psalms are songs, but I thought, you know, it came to mind again, a product of my generation and my music. How deep is your love? You remember the Bee Gees song, How Deep Is Your Love? Yeah. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really mean to learn, because we're living in a world of fools. Oh, there's that fool word again. Breaking us down when they all should let us be. We belong to you and me. It'd be really easy to change that song from a secular song to a more faith-filled song. How deep is your love, God? How deep is your love? I really mean to learn. It's a question worth pondering, isn't it? How deep is God's love? How deep is Christ's love? I don't know that any of us take much time to think about that. We take it for granted. We know. We've been told again and again and again that God loves us, that Jesus loves us. From our earliest recollections in Sunday school, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Of course the Bible tells us Jesus loves us. Tells us a lot of other stuff too. Yes, we know. We know that Jesus loves. We know that God loves us. But it's not a bad idea to take a few minutes once in a while to think just how deep, how wide that love goes, how long that love goes. That is what the author of the writer of this letter to the church in Ephesus is encouraging the folk in that church to do. To consider and ponder, to know more fully how deep God's love is for us. It's an expectation of growth in the knowledge of love, of God's love. The status quo is not the expectation here. Go beyond what you know about God's love, about Christ's love. Go beyond and explore it fuller and deeper. Broaden your understanding. Expand your horizon. Because there's always more to learn, to know, to experience. The author points that out. Might not know it fully, but there's more to know. How deep is your love, God? How deep is your love, Jesus? David shared an example today in the scripture that he shared with us. Jesus' love is deep enough to feed 5,000 people. Doesn't care who they are, if they work for it, if they could pay for it. How deep is God's love? How deep is Jesus' love? Deep enough to eat with those considered undesirable, unclean, to associate with them. Deep enough to forgive and promise a criminal on the cross at Jesus' crucifixion that he'll be in eternity with him in paradise. Pretty deep, huh? We'd probably wish the opposite, or at least hope for it. Example after example in Scripture. Example after example, if we're alert and aware and looking for them in life to see how deep God's love is. That's the writer of the letter to the church in Ephesus, prayer for the church there. That's the prayer for us today from that same author. We might come to know how deep God's love is, deeper than we already understand it. And it's going to take some work on our part. Prayer isn't a passive activity always. Sometimes it is. But in this case, the prayer that the author prays is going to require some activity on the work or on from the folk who have that prayer prayed for them and have that prayer prayed for us. It's going to take some research, some thinking, some pondering, some contemplation to come to understand God's love even more deeply than we already do. To understand more fully that love. And to love God and one another with the same breadth, length, height, depth that we are loved. For love is our foundation. It's God's foundation. It's Christ's foundation. We are to build our lives on that same foundation. It's where we are to be rooted and grounded in everything we think, say, and do. So that we too might be completely filled with the nature of God. That's our goal. How deep is God's love? How deep is Jesus' love? We really need to learn, don't we? More and more about it each and every day of our lives. Because we belong to you and me. We belong to God and one another. To love and be loved. And to spread love is our mission. Amen. The time to join together in body, mind, and spirit to lift up our prayers to God who listens. It's a time for conversation with God as we ask for things from God for ourselves, for others. That's okay. But also petitions. Joys, concerns, all those things, God is willing to hear. We should be willing to lift them up. What would you like to lift up this morning? Yeah, absolutely. Prayers for both grandma and great grandma. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. Phil. Prayers for Sundance, the final day for the dancers as they end their celebration and begin to reacclimate into this world from the world that they have been in for the past four days? Not an easy thing to do. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Marilyn. Prayers for safe travels. Traveling mercies for your friends. Thanksgiving for safe travels for Sandy, for all folk, family, etc., who are traveling today, no matter how short a distance, how long a distance. We pray for their safety. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. The wildfires are still going strong, folks. So we pray for the folk they're fighting those fires, rescue workers, for people that live in the path of those fires. There's a lot of homes that are threatened by the current wildfires. So we pray for all of them as they continue to battle. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Helen. Yes, prayers for the Olympians as they compete in their chosen sport, as the Olympics have begun. And prayers for relief from the heat. It's hot over there, too. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Wildfires in several places, floods in others, floods in Europe, in Germany, in China, in our southwest United States. It's just amazing stuff. They're so destructive. We pray for all those that are the victims there in the paths of those flooded areas and the folk that are working to help recover from that. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Tornadoes in Michigan last night, 130,000 people without power today. Pray for the folk in that area of destruction. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. In this heat, of course, we pray for all those who could suffer from heat, who don't have fans or air conditioning. I want to keep them in our prayers, not only them, but our livestock. This is hard stuff for weather on livestock. You can keep them warm, but it's harder to keep them cool, and it's a tough time. And also, not only for our domestic livestock, but for our wild animals, birds, etc. Everybody suffers when it's hot, so we lift up all of them. Ragbri riders too. Ragbri starts today. Fun week to ride a bike. Hope they have a good time. But we pray for all of us as we continue to deal with some abnormally high temperatures and heat indexes. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Prayers for Judy Boyd's family. As announced at the beginning of worship, we celebrated her life yesterday. Judy was a happy, generous soul. But they mourn her death. And, of course, we did celebrate her life as well. But we pray for her family as they continue to grieve her death. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One of the ways we express our love for God and for one another is through the sharing of the gifts that we bring to spread God's good news. Let us do so joyfully and generously as we receive our morning offering.
Blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures.
Let us join together in our prayer of dedication that's printed on the back of your bulletin. Bless these gifts that we offer in your name, generous God. Multiply them, our hopes and our efforts, that your wonders might come into the world around us. Amen. Our closing song, number 244, O Love, How Deep, How Broad. How broad, how high, how passing far, and fantasy that God the Son of God should take our mortal form for mortal sake. For us baptized, for us he bore his holy fast. And now to him, who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Go forth glorifying God. Go forth in peace. Go forth with love for everybody and everything.